Do we think that the God who rules and reigns in the universe will be held back by anything that people could do? Jesus had said three times before in Matthew's gospel, Matthew records that he would die, he must die, and on the third day he would rise again. He said it. So do we think that people can keep that under control? Our next reading, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10.
Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
That was the response of the women at the joyful news of Jesus' resurrection and as they met him. But what about the other response? We continue reading in verse 11 of chapter 28. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Well, we've talked about the earthquake at the cross, and earthquakes, as we know, are dangerous because after they happen, there's always the risk of an aftershock, a second earthquake to follow. And that was true at Easter time too. Matthew tells us about another earthquake that happened on the third day. After a very quiet Sabbath day, something incredible happened. And there's a clue to that in these three pictures. I wonder if anyone can guess or tell us what the connection is between these three things. We've got a strange sea creature, a building, I'll tell you where it is, it's in London, and there's a type of cake, a very light and fluffy kind of cake. What's the connection between these three things? Has anyone got any idea? Anyone spent any time in Islington, for example? Oh, yeah. Well, there is an angel food cake. That's right. That's the third one. Angel food cake. That's right. And then the building is a place in London, in Islington, called The Angel. That's right. The Angel Islington. And then the sea creature is called?
Angel.
It's called an angel. It's a sea angel. It's a very little creature. Apparently, it's quite a nasty little creature, actually. It doesn't do very nice things. I think it's an ironic name, but it looks a little bit like we imagine angels to be. Perhaps this is what's in your mind when you think of angels. But Matthew says it's very, very different. He says it's more like this. Not exactly what we would have thought of. He says this is the appearance of the angel who came at that moment on the beginning of the third day, ear-splitting, dazzlingly bright, as this awesome power of this lightning bolt, enough to move this stone that weighed more than a car. But why did God send his angel to move that stone? That's the question before us, isn't it? Was it perhaps to let Jesus out of the tomb, like an exit? Well, no, because the angel says, "He has risen, already. And the Bible tells us that Jesus' risen body is both like the body as he was born. It has scars from the wounds on the cross, but yet it's different. He appears to people in different places through locked doors. So it wasn't to let Jesus out that the angel rolled away the tombstone. It was to let us see in. It was revelation, revealing something. He rolled the stone away to show us what was going on. And we ask ourselves, what does it mean? What did the rolling away of the stone tell us? Well, it tells us the answer to this question, first of all. Is Jesus alive? We roll away the stone. Yes, he is. The stone was removed away, it was rolled away to let us see in, so that we could look inside the tomb and see Jesus was not there. He was alive. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean that Jesus is alive, that the tomb was stone was rolled away? Well, Jesus taught many things. He told us many things. He told us what we are like. That's what he said. He said that we have all sinned. What he meant was, this is how the world is made. This is how the world is ruled and governed. But each one of us has said, no, I'm not having God to be my ruler. I'm going to be the ruler of my life. That's the essence of sin. That's what Jesus taught us. But he also said he would die and that he would rise again on the third day to do something about that. So, are Jesus' words true? What does the stone say? The stone is rolled away. It says, yes, Jesus' words are true. We can trust what he says because he said he would die and rise again. So what he says about me is also true, that I have rebelled against God. I've made myself my own king, my own ruler, and I need to be sorted out. On the night that he was arrested, Jesus met with his closest followers. And he said the same thing again. He said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And he explained why he was going to do it. So he shared with them bread and wine. And he said, I'm doing this so you can be right with God. My body is going to be broken like this bread. And my blood is going to be spilt like this wine is poured out. And it's going to be done so that we could be right with God again, even though we have sinned and made ourselves rulers instead of God. He said he would pay for that sin for us so we could be friends with God. So, did Jesus die for my sins? Is that what he did? The stones rolled away and we see, yes, he did. Will I be forgiven if I ask God in Jesus' name and the stone is rolled away and we say, yes, I will be forgiven. Can I really have a new start if I trust in Jesus? Yes, I can. And Jesus said another thing to his disciples before he was betrayed and arrested. He said, I'm going to go to die. I'm going to rise again and I'm going to be with my Father in heaven. And I'm going to invite you to be there too. He said, I want you to drink wine with me in my kingdom. Was that true? Is heaven a real place? The stone is rolled away to say, yes, heaven is a real place. Will Jesus welcome me there if I trust in him? The stone is rolled away to say, yes. That's the purpose of the rolling away of the stone, to show us these things are true. What does all this mean to you? I think Matthew shows us two responses here in his gospel, two ways we could go away from here and do different things. The first one is a bit like this creature. This is supposed to be a hare. I think it looks more like a rabbit myself. But it's supposed to be like a hare, a very fast creature that runs away. And then the other response is like this, like an ostrich. Let me show you what I mean. So the hare gets excited, goes very fast, and off it goes. And that's exactly like the women who came to the tomb. They heard what the angel said, and they rushed off obediently. So it says, Matthew says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. That was their response. And they ran to tell the disciples. That's the first response. For them, the resurrection was a great big yes. A joyful response. Because they understood it was for them to make them right with God. And I hope that is our response this morning to the resurrection. Because there's another response that we see. It's like the ostrich. Now, one thing that everyone seems to know about ostriches is this. I don't know if they do this, actually, but there's a picture of one doing it. I think they do. They bury their heads in the sand, and we use it as an expression to say people don't want to hear the truth or don't want to see what's going on. They want to deny it. There was a group of people like that. It was the religious leaders. And so the guard said, this is what we saw. They ran to the leaders and they said to them, this is what we saw. And they said, what do you want us to do? And they said, tell people his disciples stole the body. And I'm going to give you some money because you might get in trouble because you weren't a good soldier. You weren't doing your job properly. So you need to tell people that he was stolen. Just like the ostrich, for them, the resurrection was a great big no. No, I'm not going to accept what has been revealed. The stone has been rolled away. I understand the message, but I don't want it. And the Bible says there's really only two ways we can respond to this revelation, this truth about Jesus. Why didn't they want it to be true? Well, it comes back to Jesus and his words again, the things that he taught, because some of them were not comfortable things to hear. He taught us, as I said, about our sins. He also talked about the sins of the religious leaders. In Matthew's gospel particularly, if you read it to yourself later, go to chapter 23 and you'll see Jesus does not hold back in what he says about the religious leaders, those same ones that want to conceal his resurrection. He told how they love to wear important religious robes and be thought of as much by people around. He said how they encourage people to be also proud of their religion, to give in a way so everyone can see in the temple and do outwardly religious things. And Jesus said that's what they're like in their hearts. He said they don't show love for their neighbour. Like this parable of the Good Samaritan, they walked past in his story. Jesus said hard words for the leaders, and so they didn't want to hear when the truth came he had risen. But those words aren't just hard for religious leaders then, 2,000 years ago. They're hard for us to hear, because as we've said, we are all sinners, as the Bible says. We've all replaced God's rule with our own rule. We all do wrong things. We all need to come back to God and say sorry. And that makes some people say no to everything that we're reading this morning. It makes some people say, against all the evidence, and there is good evidence for the empty tomb, and there's good books that we could tell you about to read about that if you're interested. It makes some people want to say no to that. They don't want to hear Jesus' words. So today, this is the choice before us, isn't it? As we read this, what's it going to be to us? Is it going to be a joyful yes? Jesus is alive. He is risen. And that means I can be saved and I can be with him. Or is it going to be a denying no? I won't hear it. For you, what is your response this morning? I pray that the response will be a great resounding yes, so that you can have life with Jesus in his kingdom. And I'm going to pray now. Father, we thank you so much for revealing the truth to us, for sending your angel to roll back that stone to show that Jesus wasn't there, that he had risen and is alive. Help us to understand that and to accept it and to say yes, and not to deny it and say, no, it can't be. Father, help us, because it's hard to hear true words about ourselves, how we do need forgiveness from you. But we thank you that we don't just get that news, we get the good news that you have done all that is needed for us to be forgiven, sending your son to die and to rise again. Make that true in our hearts this morning, we pray, by your Spirit's work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
These words from Hebrews, at the end of Hebrews, where the writer says to us, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.